God's word, guys, Psalm 1, looking at the book of Psalms. Like I said to you at the beginning, taking a slightly, much the same, really, as I went through it before, but I think on a couple of things, like even this Psalm 1, it didn't strike me so much when I went through it the last time as it did when I was going through it this time, and the time before up in Northern California, San Francisco. And that is how it is very much a psalm of compromise. You could actually put compromise. Now, why I say that is, when I thought through this before, I thought through, absolutely, it's a psalm. There's no question about it. A psalm of if you like, contrasting the godly and the ungodly, and the way to live and how to be blessed and all of that. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Compromise is an interesting thing. We can compromise very easily. And when we get into little compromises, we let go of something, it can deteriorate and get worse, and we can be moving away from God, being pulled away from our moorings by the compromises we make that the world is offering us every day. And so I thought, this is an interesting aspect of this psalm. And so that's part of our concentration today. Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the road would never bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend without a song. I got my troubles and woe, and sure as I know the Jordan will roll, I get along as a song is strong in my soul. You may have heard Willie Nelson's rendition of that song. I do know that it, for the people that are older here, and I certainly remember him, Eddie Albert, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Ray Charles, they all have performed this song, and none of them wrote it, but it goes way, way back, and it's beautiful. I get along. That's what got my attention. I get along as a song is strong in my soul. How beautiful are those words? And there's no doubt about it, when you get a combination of words, melody, rhythm, all coming together, my old dad, conductor of choirs, teacher of music, president of the Musical Society of Tipperary for decades. You know, he loved music, and there's no doubt about it. You know, it touches the very soul of a person. And you know, I also think in Ireland, people talk about the music of Ireland. And, of course, the Celtic music. And people are stirred the minute they hear it. And, of course, the Celtic dancing, the Celtic music, the whole thing. And it was born, you understand, because it was interesting that Paul was singing about freedom. Because it was born out of 800 years of oppression. A people proud and strong and yearning to be free. And in fact, 1916, this year, is the 100th anniversary of Ireland's fight for freedom that started in 1916 and was concluded by my wife's great uncle signing with Winston Churchill in 10 Downing Street the agreement to separate part of Ireland and at least end the war and the killing. But when that time arrived, you know it too, don't you? Because, well, we know it too, don't we? I'm an American, remember? We know it too, because Independence Day, what a day that is. You know, it's independence and freedom from a force, a foreign force that's dictating and demanding policy. And to be free from that. Man, there surges in the veins of any patriot or anybody that truly deserves to be called a son of their country or a daughter or a child of their land. There surges within you that blood surge of joy and exhilaration that you're free. No chains of oppression. You can no longer be bound or held down. Now you're free to direct your own course, your own country, your own land. And that's the freedom that we have with the gospel. Freedom, you know, we say, well, you know, it tells me I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. Am I free? You're free. You know, some people say, well, they're free to take drugs. Well, I'm free not to take them if I don't want to take them. You know, freedom is an interesting concept. We're set free. The gospel doesn't curtail us or restrict us. It gives us freedom. And even the very choices we make with regard to whether we'll believe or not, you have a freedom to decide that. God doesn't even force you to do that. That's why free choice, the Bible gives us that, our own choice in the matter. And of course, that's the importance of being free, whether it's, but of course, again, there's no comparison, really, in the freedom that we have knowing Christ. The countries will come and go, nationalities and pride and heritage and background and patriotism will all fade away. But the freedom that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine that we're going home to be in heaven because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross, and we have that freedom. Every day as we go through life, pressures, demands, no doubt. If you're like me, you face struggles, and we all do. I think you are. We all do. There are trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties, and you're not long around on planet Earth when you realize that no day goes by, most likely, without some difficulty on some level. In fact, Job, it's biblical, because Job said in Psalm chapter 5, or as Job said in Job 5, verse 7, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I love those four words. You low today, grab those. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. You know, he also said in Luke 17 and verse 1, it is impossible that offenses will not come against you. In other words, it's impossible that you won't have trouble. So we are guaranteed trouble. But here we see it from Jesus, and we see it indeed in the Old Testament as well. Troubles do come. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So over and over again, in the words of Jesus, trials, troubles, and difficulties come. But not just the trials and troubles, but even, how can I put it to you like this, the daily grind of life. The very daily grind of life can be troublesome. Going on and, you know, interacting with people, and they like you, they don't like you. You rub someone the wrong way, you rub them the right way. I don't know, you know. But it's always, there's always a struggle with people, with life, with things. And then also to the uncertainty of what the next moment is going to bring. Or the next minute, or the next day. So the daily grind of life, you know, the homemaker faces dealing with children, 14 hours a day or more, deadlines, decisions, coping with strong wills, and all sorts of endless chores in the house. The professional experiences, you know, having to deal with people all the time, dissatisfied people that scream, complain, sue, smile, solve, but always dealing with situations. The truck driver has an exhausting routine of traffic snarls and endless hazard situations on the road, constant, if you like, monotonous miles stuck to the wheel of the truck. The athlete, of course, you know, has to practice endlessly, running around the track or whatever, training, grueling days, and having the same routine over and over and over again. The student has to face the daily grind of assignments, class projects, and cramming for exams. The salesperson has got to reach a quota and better reach it, or it could be in trouble. The performer on stage has the endless constant rehearsal, and then, of course, you know, success or not can be made on the particular night or day or whatever of the performance. The therapist has to deal with one depressed and difficult person struggling with whatever every single day. The pilot is strapped in to the cockpit for hours and hours on end as he flies great distances. The preacher is in a place where he has to work on his sermon Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, constantly making sure and knowing that he's as good probably as the last one he preaches. And the rest will probably be forgotten if he takes a dive on this one. The preacher has to deal with that. The broadcaster, I thought of this thinking of Richard McIntosh on the radio. The broadcaster never gets away from the clock. You know that when you go on radio or on television, there it's constant. Everything has to be timed to the second, to the minute. The bureaucrat never gets away from red tape. All just a few examples of the grind of life for all of us that we're involved in. And sometimes days don't seem to end. and roads don't seem to bend. And it's hard to have a song in your heart. No one escapes. And the Christian, of course, faces even more, doesn't he? Because the Christian faces not only the daily grind of life, but also the onslaught, the attack of the enemy. Because he's hell-bent on our destruction. Much more concerned about us as Christians than he has no concern about those who don't care about Christ. So the Christian has to face the attack of the enemy and all that stuff, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That daily grueling grind of the devil trying to trip you up and tackle you and bring you down. And we've got to keep on going through. Well, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, that stuff will happen. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now again, the overcoming sense. When you think of the book of Revelation, and we studied that here one time too as we went through the whole Bible. And that is in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, of course, you know, he lets us know that he's coming back. And we are overcoming, we are going over with him. Just like he sent the disciples across the lake, he told them, go across the lake in the storm. But they didn't have to worry. He told them, go over to the other side. They didn't have to worry. They were not going to go under, they were going to go over because Jesus said it. And that's why they set out on the lake. And the same way in the book of Revelation, the promise to us is that he's coming back for us and we are going over with him to glory. Even if we're like the 20 in my box of pictures of my people that attended here through all the years, these past 11 years, they have all gone over with Jesus to the other side. And they are all in glory right now. And we will meet again on heaven's shore. It's wonderful. It's encouraging. It's for Peg McIntosh today, Richard's wife, it's everything. Because she knows it's not over. We'll meet again. Jesus may take Richard home to glory this week. But she knows that he's coming back. And if it doesn't take her in her lifetime, he'll come back and take us all to be with Richard, Pastor Chuck, and all our loved ones in glory. How great, how great, how great that will be. But right now, this is where the Psalms comes in. Right now we're on planet Earth. Right now we have struggles. Right now we have the daily grind. Right now we have difficulties. Right now we have all kinds of things that we've got to face. And how do I cope? How can I manage? How can I go on? Remember Willie Nelson's song. I get along, not his song, but the one he sung. I get along as a song is strong in my soul. That's what I want and that's what we're coming to today. We're coming to the song we need in our soul. Now, we're not talking about some little ditty or some of these mad, crazy guys with funny hair and everything on the TV or something and wild kind of singers and leather spikes and weird-looking fellas. And there's all kinds of songs you can have. In fact, I do believe there's a lot of songs that I did a funeral some years back for a 14-year-old, Matthew, who died, you know. And I remember it was, He was a wonderful kid, you know, but listened to all this music and everything like that had influenced him. And he did know the Lord, and I know. I remember at that service, he went to be with the Lord. I think there's a lot of reasons. He was a beautiful child. But, you know, and a child at that age, for sure. The influence that can come in from music and stuff. We've just got to be careful of but it's not even listening to nice songs. I told you about Ireland and the lovely songs that kept the people going through 800 years of oppression. Even Africa. Think of the music of Africa and the drums and the sound and the meeting. And people talk about African people or even people, black people from different parts of the world where they face terrible oppression. But they have something, the music within them burning and keeps them going and keeps them strong. But we're not even talking about that. Because that can come and go. That's to cheer you up and keep you going, but can let you down real quick too. It's only temporary. The songs that we're going to be dealing with are the Psalms. Someone once said, and I love it, if you want to write this down, you're coming to a book with the original, this is one Paul might like to take note of, original rock music. What? Original rock music. Because it's based on the rock, Jesus Christ. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. So this is the original rock music, the book of Psalms. My dad, Bill Corcoran, used to read the Psalms by the fireside at night. I still remember going into Derby Terrace and seeing him sitting beside the big old marble fireplace and the big metal grate and the stone on the bottom of the fire blazing and my father sitting with his Bible open in his lap. And he's saying, John Henry, read the Psalms. I thought he was crazy. What are you reading that book for? It's so boring, you know. I wanted nothing to do with it. Little did I know that the time would come that those words would come back. And when I picked up that Bible, after he was dead, and I saw written inside the flyleaf, "May the reading of this gospel be your salvation." And I never ceased to thank God for calling me by his gospel, and that it truly is my salvation, as I know it is yours. "Read the Psalms," he would say to me. "There's comfort and blessing in the Psalms. I get along as a song is strong in my soul. Whatever is going on today," that's important too, like the book of Philippians. Paul wrote that book while he was in prison. "That a song is in my soul because everything's going, you know, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything's going my way," you know. The famous light opera. You know, the song that we want in our souls is the Psalms, because the Psalms are different. The songs give you life-giving stuff for the moment, but the Psalms, it's the Word of God, and it's alive. The Word of God is alive, living within us to generate a spiritual reality and growth. And so it's so very, very exciting, this we're coming to this morning, going through these Psalms. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. Well, a lot of people do. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And a great psalm, of course, when somebody is dying or ending life. But psalms are not just there for Psalm 23. There's richness in it for the whole of life. We're embarking on a study that's going to be so exciting. Get to know these psalms if you never have. They're thrilling. Do you know what Augustine said of the psalms? He said the psalm was an expression of joy at his conversion and consolation on his lips at his deathbed. Chrysostom. John Chrysostom, an amazing man. He was a bishop in the early church, 349 AD to 407. He gained a reputation for being a wonderful preacher. He was from Constantinople and he died in exile. And during his time in exile, he said what comforted him all the way along was being in the Psalms. So Christian brother and sister, this is an exciting new study we're embarking on today. Jan Hus, the Bohemian reformer from Prague, who influenced Martin Luther, said that, or it was known that he had a psalm on his lips when he was burnt at the stake. And reciting a psalm, Martin Luther himself entered the Diet of Worms, prepared to defy the church and stand by faith alone. Martin Luther. Someone said, "For every sigh, there is a psalm." Psalms, another name for it, or the Hebrew name for this, is the Book of Praises. The Book of Praises. And the key word in this book is the word hallelujah, the book of praises. Now, it is full of psalms, of songs, of praise, but it's also, we'll find instruction here. And even in this first psalm, there's great instruction. Living beyond, as I said, the daily grind of life, clinging to these psalms. You know, David wrote so many of them. We know that, but they weren't only written by David. They were written by others, as we'll see in a moment. Someone called it, and I like it, the hymn book of the Bible. H-Y-M-N, the hymn book of the Bible, but also the H-I-M, hymn, Jesus. Listen to these facts. Tell you why it's so important we study this book. Are you ready? Listen to this. As you study through the Old Testament, there are 216 Old Testament quotations embedded in New Testament teaching. 216 Old Testament quotations embedded in New Testament teaching. 119 of these are from the Psalms. There are 216 Old Testament quotations embedded in New Testament teaching, and 119 of these are from the book of Psalms. So much pulled from the book of Psalms. In fact, Psalms is the most quoted, well, obviously, most quoted book. Most quoted book from the New Testament, or most quoted book from the Old Testament in the New Testament. In fact, listen to this now. You can probably even get a greater understanding of Jesus from the Psalms than from the New Testament. You say, what? Listen to this. The Gospel tells us that Jesus went to the mountain to pray. The Psalmist tells us what he prayed. The Gospel, well, maybe you can't get more, but you can get more insights. The Gospel tells us that Jesus went to the mountain to pray. The Psalmist tells us what he prayed. The gospel tells us that Jesus was crucified on a cross. The psalmist tells us what Jesus was thinking when he was on the cross. The gospel tells us he went back up into heaven. The psalmist tells us what he's doing in heaven. So these insights, I think that's what it is. More, you don't tell you more, but it gives you some greater insights in many cases into Jesus in the New Testament. They're pointing to Jesus, and that's what's great. Be careful of listening to any Bible study or going to anything church or listening to anything where the focus isn't strong coming on Jesus. Even if they're teaching through the Old Testament, teaching through something, if you're listening on the radio or something, you know, and God forbid, there could be somebody with anecdotes and stories and all kinds of things, and some people might like less stories or more stories, and that we're all made differently, that's fine. But whatever the case is, some people might be longer, some people might be shorter, but make sure it's focused on Jesus, because if not, you're being shortchanged. Make sure the focus is on Jesus. Now again, I told you I'd tell you about the authors, human authors here. David, of course, is the one we mostly think of. But listen to this. Are you taking notes? Moses penned the first Psalm. Hezekiah, you was used to write 10 Psalms. Penned one Psalm, not the first Psalm. Moses penned one Psalm. My apologies. Moses penned one Psalm. Hezekiah penned 10 Psalms. The Song of Korah, Sons of Korah, 11 Psalms. And Asaph, 12 Psalms. So Moses 1, Hezekiah 10, Sons of Korah 11, and Asaph 12. And there was a guy called Heman, who's a singer listed in Chronicles, and Heman also wrote one big psalm. Heman. I can't wait till I get to heaven to see him. If he doesn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm going to be disappointed. I don't know about you. If you're introduced to him and you say, "Hello, Heman. Nice to meet you." Heman. Whoa, there's a great name. Anyway, I'm sure I'll definitely meet him one fine day. Well, guys, I told you, and there's something I do just before we get into it. It struck me as I was going through these yesterday that, you know, definitely there's comfort, calm, consolation, all sorts of stuff here. But Psalm 1 addresses truly one of life's most common grinds, and that's the grind of compromise. Now, I'm not talking about the give and take that we have on a daily basis with people. That helps, you know, helps keep harmony in homes or whatever. There has to be give and take. But we're talking about compromising on the Word of God. And the kind of compromising is wrong is a compromise that starts ever so slowly. So in this psalm, you're going to have a progression or a regression, if you like, where the regression we'll see when we come to it is slipping away. Why did I include this today and say I wanted to bring it in? Because I think, quite frankly, we all of us have to be careful. Do you ever find yourself something you mightn't have watched? I'm hopefully not watching something horrendous or frightful or, you know, lewd. But you're watching something on television that maybe you wouldn't have watched before. Or maybe you hear those couple of bad words and you... But then suddenly you don't even hear it anymore. Or you start looking at something or doing something or behaving in a certain way that you never would have. And imperceptibly, without even knowing it, man, you drift off. Remember Chuck used to say, if the plane was flying towards Hawaii and it set out and it was 5 degrees off, that's not much, is it really? But by the time it got to Hawaii, it'd be out in the middle of the deep ocean. You see, we drift off, we don't even know it. We can't even see it. And as I was thinking about it, as I read through it several times, I scribbled down some notes because I thought, absolutely. Told you before, like the ivy on Tom Carney's wall. A neighbor of ours, and I said to my father that the ivy that covered Derby Terrace was beautiful. And why would you tear that ivy down, Dad? It looks so lovely on the house. And he said, because one day if I don't, it'll tear this house down. I thought, but it looks so nice. I said, you know, Tom Carney's big, he had a tennis court and everything out of the back of his house, and it had beautiful ivy all around the walls and everything. And I remember seeing it and thought it was beautiful, but I also remember the day when all those walls came tumbling down. And I thought, if my dad hadn't pulled out that ivy, he said it goes in and it weaves its way around. You don't even notice it happening. Now, I know there's ivy you can buy here in the specialty places today that's gentle and doesn't make deep roots. But I'm talking about wild ivy that nobody planted and just appears there. But again, so I think it's so important, guys, that, you know, in this very first psalm, that we don't rationalize things that lead us from one place to another and can bring about that compromise. I believe this is included today because it's a special word for somebody. And by the way, if you say, boy, I'm feeling condemned now, hold on a second, don't be, because conviction's good. Condemnation comes from the devil. If you're convicted, that's great, because I was, okay? So welcome to the club of how we can, in certain areas, let things go a little bit and then, huh, how do I wind up agreeing to this or listening to that or... And I think if this, everybody's honest here, nobody, this isn't hitting in some department. This psalm is filled with contrast between two different walks of life, the godly and the ungodly. And what's written between the lines is the age-old battle that we're all engaged in, and that is compromise. The erosion of our good intentions. And I thought about that. I added that, scribbled that down yesterday because I thought, the erosion of our good intentions. You know, and this is the new year. Rather than I'm going to give up this and I'm going to do this, there's something that has developed. That's not right. That's not, you know, I always said, I'll be very frank with you, I always said that I, you know, shun and will not watch sexual stuff on TV because I'm a man. I can't do that. It's just not possible for me to do that and not absolutely sin. But I thought, you know what, if you're watching movies, a lot of violence in it doesn't necessarily really bother me. I'm not sinning it. I can. But in actual fact, could that even plant in your mind? Maybe that you're not going to go out and kill somebody, but the next time you get aggressive. What did you say to me? You know, and that's there from something you saw in the movie. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, you know, don't watch that kind of thing. It's not building you up. It's only tearing you down. And if you watch a little something, you know, then you can watch something worse another time, and it goes on and on. I believe that's a word in some level for all of us. It definitely was a word for me in my study. I'm being very transparent with you. And I do believe it certainly is a word for folk listening here today. Psalm 1 begins with, blessed. Blessed is the man. See that there? Blessed is the man. You know what blessed means? Oh, how happy. Oh, how amazingly happy, one of the commentators said. Many times happy. Huh. So not just, oh, how happy. How many times happy. How out and beyond happiness even. How fantastic it is. How wonderful the blessings. Blessed is the man. Oh, how happy is the man. What man? Look. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Oh, how happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Guys, you know, the ungodly are all around us. And, you know, we falter, flop, and fail in a myriad of ways. But we're not ungodly. We're pro-God and we're for God. And watch out. Again, this can be an area of compromise where we can give in, you know, and not speak up and not speak out. Now, again, it has to be done lovingly and the truth spoken in love. You know, somebody wants you to engage in something, a way to go about it, and it might not be to say, no, I'm a Christian, I shun that, you know. Well, then you alienate them and they see you as self-righteous. But you gently say, no, I don't want to do that. Might even originally give a reason. Just say, no, I don't. I don't want to engage in that. Then if they press, why not? Say, well, you know what, I'm a Christian. And it's like the girl who the boyfriend wanted her to have sex with him, and she pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, he wanted her to have sex with her, and he pushed and he pushed, and he's trying to have her, and she said, no, 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 no. She was a Christian. And in the end, she turned to him and she said, if you don't want to go to heaven with me, I'm not going to hell with you. I always tell you when I say that, I have to be careful. If you're not going to heaven with me, I'm not going to hell with you. Sorry, I'm not going to hell with you. She didn't say it the bad way. Every time I say it, sounds a little, but guys, compromise. See, she stood against it. She said, no. It's just something you need to say no to. I know there is for me. I need to say no when I could be led into talking about stuff that you're better off not talking about, or criticizing people, or being judgmental, or being mean, or being vindictive, or being, you know, all the myriad of things we can be. Angry, you know, and again, people get angry. Check it out. I bet you if you went back along the line, you would see, you know, boy, that was terrible anger. But check it out. It was simmering along the way in little situations all the way back. So again, you want to be happy? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Stay away from the ungodly. Minister to them, but don't be walking around with them. Because he says here, if you want to be happy, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now here is the digression that I told you about. Not a progression, but a digression. What do you mean? Well, look at the way it goes backwards. First of all, he's walking, or he's walking, then he's standing, and then he's sitting. And you can examine this, and not for our type of study here, but you can check these three words. The walking is kind of like, you know, being about, being involved a little bit. And then before long, you're standing around because you're getting more interested. Well, what did you say? Really? And then you're sitting down. It's like going to buy a pair of shoes, you know. No, I don't want anything. Thank you. You do that when you go to the store? Can I help you, sir? Oh, no, thank you. I'm just looking. And you're walking around. But if you're really interested, you see, then you stand. Say, well, I was thinking, what about, oh, please take a seat, sir. Walking, standing, sitting. And you're sold. Most likely. They got you then. Well, it's the same way. This is what's going on here. This digression. Israel was told to be separate. Guys, heading into 2016. I think this is a great New Year's message, tell you the truth. Because it's got everything in here. I think really I do. Oh God, here's my New Year's resolution. I don't want to compromise anymore on anything. And I'm going to stand. That isn't like, oh, help me with that, will you, in the year ahead? No. Remember, Philippians? Remember? Change your mind and God will change your heart. But if you don't change your mind, God won't change your heart. But if you change your mind, God will change your heart. What do you need to change your mind on today? I know what I need to change mine on. Change your mind. Say no. Not doing that. Oh, okay, it's not so bad. But I know other things have happened over here, maybe because it could leave me out. And I'm not going to let that happen. You know, Israel was told to be separate. In fact, Jesus, in 1 John rather, chapter 2, John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. You know, dear old Chuck used to say, well, he would be teaching on the scripture that said, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. A ship was made for the water, but don't get water in the ship. Because if you do, it'll go down. So it's not about pulling out completely. Of course, we see characters in the Bible that got caught up. I won't deliberate long over it, but you look at Lot. Remember Lot, was it Genesis 13? Lot and Abraham, their herdsmen were fighting. And Abraham, being very gracious, said to Lot, I'll tell you what, Lot. I'm a poet and I don't know it. Here we go. No, I won't go on, I promise. So at any rate, he said, I'll tell you what, Lot, you can have whatever land you like. So Lot said, sure, absolutely. So he picked the very best land, right close to the city of Sodom, the evil city of Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, and we know that when he did, it wasn't long before he was living in Sodom. And it wasn't long before he was sitting at the city gate. Sitting at the gate meant you were a leader in the city. So again, the digression for Lot. You see it too with Samson. Haven't time to develop that, but you can check that out, how he slipped backwards. In actual fact, even with dear old Peter, in the New Testament example. Dear Peter, of course, he followed, he stood, and he sat. He followed, he stood, and he sat. And then he wound up lying and denying Jesus three times. And again, of course, you know, if you hang out with the ungodly, mockers and scornful, it says here. Don't hang out with the mockers and the scornful. That really, I haven't time to deliberate over it, but I will say this to you. There's an awful lot of it on TV, on the internet, making little belittling. I always remember the movie, The Life of Brian. Nothing to do with Brian Brodersen. Nothing to do with our pastor. But The Life of Brian was a movie in the 70s, which was a horrendous, frightful, despicable sneer and skit and laugh at Jesus Christ. And it was a huge hit. Huge hit. Everybody knew of it. John Cleese, you know that, those guys in England, I can't think of that group of people. Monty Python. Yeah, Monty Python. And but it mocked Jesus. He had Jesus singing on the cross, always look on the bright side of life, and It did frightful. I mean, amusing, absolutely. But when you think of what's being mocked here, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for sin, you know, and the price he had to pay, the God of heaven. So again here, mocking and scoffers. And boy, I'll tell you, I mentioned no names, but you turn on the TV and there's all these type of political analysts and their programs and things where they mock and they scoff and stuff about righteousness and Jesus, and they laugh at it all. Well, God, we know, has the last laugh on that count, but it's sad. Verse 2, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Now I want you to see the contrast here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, we know what we're not to do. You want to be happy? Well, at times in 2015, you were very unhappy. Well, here's a way to correct that. Here's a way to set that right. Get right. Get in the Word of God. Thy words have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy words were found by me, O Lord, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah 15:16. The word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. How can a young man keep his way? By holding fast to the word of God. I rejoice at thy word, O Lord, as one that findeth great spoil. Guys, the word of God was at once the compromise. The aspect that I've added to our study this morning that I didn't the last two times I taught this book. Has there been compromise in your life with regard to the Word of God? You know, not just for here, not first for John Henry preparing or getting ready for stuff, or you when you're, you know, at church, but every day, you know, for our bodies to survive, we need the nutrients, the minerals, the carbohydrates, and I guess even the fats, to be able to function and to survive. The nutrients that are necessary to promote health. The nutrient that we need to promote spiritual health is the Word of God. If you are not in the Word of God, you know, every day you will become spiritually weak. Someone once said that a week without the Word and you become weak or something like that. Well, it is true. You know, I think of it too, and it's not just reading the Bible or going here a Bible study. This should cause us to want to meditate on the Word. The meditate's got a bad rap because of Eastern philosophy and stuff. But meditate's a wonderful thing. The Bible is full of it, that we meditate. I think in our world where we're so busy, we can't bear silence. We can't bear that there isn't something going on every second. But to meditate, to go alone and take a portion of the Word of God and meditate on it. Don't go through it. Have it go through you. Someone once said, and I think I got it wrong the last time I taught this, so I hope I'm right this time. And that is that a cow has four stomachs. The last time I taught this, I said he had seven. So if anybody got led astray by that, I hope you survived it. I think a cow has about four stomachs. In actual fact, I don't think he really has four stomachs. He has one, but he can regurgitate it out and back in or something like that. And what he does is when he chews the grass, the cud, he takes it into one and he dumps it into another area and then out into another and back in. You know, he sort of, I don't know how he does that. Maybe he kind of, now, bon appetit. I hope you have a nice lunch. He kind of throws it up into some other department. But the point being that going, have it go through me. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. O Lord, pray that in. I had a privilege here for many years of praying before Pastor Chuck would teach here. And I remember the first time I was ever asked to do it 21 years ago. And with fear and trepidation, I thought, oh, how am I going to, I won't be able to think straight. This is Chuck Smith, you know, touch the whole world. I'm to pray before he touches the world again here this Sunday. I was in fear and trepidation, didn't know what to do. Actually, in fact, the Lord told me, read my word. I read his word. And he said, you know, for each aspect, pick a scripture. So in other words, when I would pray for God's blessing on the pastor in the morning, I'd pick a scripture that suits one line. Then when I want to pray for the congregation, for the trials and troubles that people are going, I'd pick a line from the psalm. And then the final one where I'd have to pray for the anointing of the pastor for the preaching of the word, I'd pick something like one of these psalms that encouraged the word and pray the anointing upon it. Point being, you know, glory to God, that's not a formula that everybody should do. That was something that worked for me because I knew that even if I stuttered, stumbled, and muttered, the word of God was in there and I'd be secure. If you have a problem with praying, you think, I don't know what to pray, and I get kind of distracted. Oh, God, bless me and my family and my mother and brother. And bless, you know, get the Psalms, read them, and pray them. You're going to be amazed as we go through this. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Psalms. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I want to tell you something. There are many. You know, I was looking at the beautiful scenery here of the trees, and it reminded me of the Golden Vale, the forests outside Tipperary where I was born, the Glen of Aherlow, completely Tipperary, surrounded by woods and trees. In actual fact, it was just like a picture from my youth to see all the snow on the trees. And I looked out of it and I thought, you know, these are evergreen trees. Know what that means? They remain green the whole year round. See, some plant life will, of course, develop and then fade and come back. But you'll be like, he says here, you'll be like the one that produces its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. It'll mean that you'll never wither. You may falter, flop, and fail, and get things right, and struggle through life, and the daily grind, and everything we talked about, but you're always held fast and secure as long as you hold fast to the word of God. And again, if you've let it go, pick it up. If you get nothing else from this Bible study today, that you are enthused, excited to get back in the word. You've left it go. You feel a shortfall. There's a gap. Get back in every day. So, wow, is that legalistic? No, it's not legalistic. It would be legalistic to say that you needed the nutrients, the minerals, the carbohydrates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to promote body health. Isn't your spiritual health more important? Isn't our spiritual health more important? That we need to be feeding our soul and the food we feed it with is the word of God. And to be strong in the word, you need to be strong in Jesus. To be going on strong, we need to be putting the word in. Now he says here, everything you do, whatever he does will prosper. Now the ungodly are not so, the ungodly, but they are like the chaff, verse 4, which the wicked drives away, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly are not so. They won't stand. You know what that means? They won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. They won't be in heaven. There will be no sinners in heaven. Well, honestly, I mean, come on. How long do you think the streets of gold would last? If all the thieves got in, they'd be chipping bits off. Taking it out in a little bag out back. Seriously, though, New Year's resolutions, January Day, 2016, don't harbor any bitterness. We all of us, the daily grind, we get bitter, we get upset, we get angry, we get fearful, we get lustful, we get all kinds of things. Don't harbor it. Reject it, get back in the Word, stay strong in the Word. Because you know what? People who are blatantly, deliberately, calculatingly, continuously going on in sin will not be in heaven. So I want to put it to you today. This might sound like very bold preaching. I should actually know a way to exhort you. I hear God say to me too, we don't need to be going on in this way. Because if you're going on in this way, you might not be in heaven. Because it might be a sign that you're not a believer. If you continue on, there's a strong call. Because he says here, these will not be in the congregation of the righteous. So, well, you say, oh my gosh, I don't know. I hope I'm not one. And then all that fear and everything. That's the devil. That's condemnation. You want to be free today? Just say, I'm sorry for every sin I've ever committed. This person really hurt me. That's a fact. I'm doing my best to live at peace with them and as much as lies within me. It's not always easy. She's been awful. They've been terrible. He's done this. She's done that. And whatever. But you know what? You died for me while I was spitting at you, an unrepentant sinner. And you gave your life for me. I forgive them all. It's not worth it. Let them go. Let it go and be free today. So again, the psalm now closes out with the first half of the psalm, of course, was the godly person. The last half that you just looked at focused on the ungodly, the righteous man planted by the rivers of water, and again, the water of the word, Jesus Christ washing you, and the ungodly, the chaff blown away. Isn't it interesting how they go on together, just like the wheat and the tares? They grow up together, but eventually the day of judgment comes. And then only those who are right with God will stand. So to be happy, how could you be, oh, how blessed, how could you be amazingly happy if whatever you own or whatever you got for Christmas or whatever you purchase or whatever you have, and it's all going to be gone one day and blown away? So that's why it's so important on this January day to be blessed. We've seen it here today. And the call to all of us at the close is to maintain a pure, listen, uncompromising walk. Again, God gave me this at the close out of my preparations this week, that we delight in his word, Jeremiah 15, 16, Psalm 37. I rejoice at thy word, O Lord, as one who finds great spoil. We need to be in the word, and there's no shortcuts to spiritual growth. Like physical growth, it comes on a daily basis. Now, I hit that point before, and I'm closing with this. It comes on a daily basis, feeding your soul. And the proper diet, with the proper diet, we can experience real happiness. And actually, thereby, you know, keep in check the compromise that's constantly trying to erode and pull us away, keeping close in with the Lord. Walk not in the counsel of the wicked, or in the path of sinners, nor in the seat of the scoffers, but delight yourself in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. There's our resolution. There's our heart. Amen? For 2016, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this golden psalm, this wonderful song, deep in our hearts, deep in our souls, strong in our soul. We ask you, Lord, that you would enable us by the power of your Spirit to live this. And where we have made compromises or turned and been drifted away, that today on this January morning, you're calling us and drawing us ever closer to yourself, to a deeper, closer walk with you than ever before. We thank you now, Lord. We ask you for the help of your Holy Spirit. And where we need to change our minds, we will do so. You come and change our hearts. We thank you, Lord. Be with us now. Make it a great year ahead, will you? We prayed for healing for folk here this morning. You know, the wounded and the broken and the troubled and those who are waiting on results and things happening and those who are grieving or sad today and broken and all kinds of situations and marriages that are in trouble and families that are broken up and difficulties and trials and interpersonal relationships and sadnesses and sorrows and the very grind of daily life. But we thank you, God, that you are the song in our soul. The Psalms are the word of God, the living word, Jesus Christ living in us. So come now, Lord Jesus, today. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Help us be a great year ahead of healing, of blessing, of strength, of encouragement, of guidance, direction. And Lord, even when we go through stuff, we know, Lord, that you're holding us in your everlasting arms. And as the book of Revelation tells us, we're going over. We're not going to go under. We are overcomers with you, Jesus, on our side. And the great beauty of what we learned this morning and what we're going to do as we go through the Psalms, we're going to be learning these songs and we're going to be coming into a deeper understanding and enabling and empowering with your help and the Holy Spirit to live beyond the daily grind and to live, Lord, on a plane much closer to you than ever before. Won't you let it be so, Father? In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's family said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Anybody needs prayer, come on up.